Hello, honest to God listener. Before this episode starts, I just wanted to come on real quick and ask if you could please drop us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. That would be wonderful. It only takes you a second, but it helps us out a ton. Thanks so much and enjoy this episode.
AM 1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
Hello, this is Murphy, and on this episode of Honest to God, we talk about how we as Catholics get to keep Christmas going long after the 25th. But what are we supposed to do in that time? We'll stick around and learn all about it, and keep sticking around to hear us talk and sing a little about some Catholic Christmas songs. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
All right, everybody. Super pumped to be here today. Hello and welcome. You are listening to Honest to God on AM 1160, The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic radio. Ben, you look a little perplexed. Is my microphone okay?
Yeah.
Sounding good?
Mm-hmm.
Looking good? Lighting's different today.
It is. We're cozy.
Yeah.
Spicy.
Nice and cozy.
Spicy's not the adjective I was going to use, but yeah, sure. We'll go with it.
This spicy light.
Particularly spicily lit episode. And it's because it's a special episode. It really is. I'm actually really pumped for this episode. It is, what is it in real time? January 4th today?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Which means we are smack dab in the middle of Christmas.
We are.
Just super excited.
Tis the season.
And that's why we're doing it. That's why we're doing a Christmas episode right now, not on the 25th, because the Christmas season runs way longer than one day.
Despite the secular world thinks.
Well, despite what the Christian radio stations will tell you when they stop playing Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer every half hour, the second it hits midnight on the 26th. So everybody's favorite Christmas carol, of course.
Oh, yeah.
The most liturgically sure. appropriate. Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Absolutely.
No, but we are going to do this episode too as a Christmas episode, not on Christmas Day, but still firmly within the Christmas season, which runs through January 6th, right, with Epiphany. And we're gonna do some Christmassy things. I think we're gonna do some singing here in a little bit, and we're gonna talk a little bit about how what we do in regards to the Christmas season, or rather, maybe what we should be doing in regards to the Christmas season after the day itself. So let's dig into that a little bit. I will start with a walk of shame by talking about what my family has done that is the antithetical to everything I'm going to talk about. But before we do that, we got to do things. We got to do things. We got to do fun facts.
There are things. And
fun facts.
Yeah.
You all owe us one. We've got old returning people who are just going to get one fun fact, which means Ben's going to do a fun fact because there's only three of them. But we're going to begin as we do all things with prayer. And Murphy Gibbons is going to lead us off. Whenever you're ready, Murphy.
Word. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we just thank you and we praise you. We ask you to bless this conversation. We ask you to bless our voices, to bless our instruments later on in the episode. And Lord, we also just ask that you bless this conversation, allow it to be fruitful, and allow everything that we do to point towards you. In your name we pray. Amen.
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 In the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. That was great. So, fun facts, but first I'm gonna talk about how I feel ashamed to be here today, because literally this morning I had my son drag our Christmas tree into the backyard and set it on fire.
not a bad way to go.
I know, but I should have waited two more days,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
We're living in this tiny house, and because we're living in this tiny house right now, we have a tiny Christmas tree.
Do you have a live tree?
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, we're
poor. Did they just set a plastic one on fire?
I don't know.
You could have.
It's on 100. Yeah.
But because we have a tiny house, we have a tiny tree. And because we have a tiny tree, I don't have my normal Christmas tree stand that I've had since I was a kid. It's great. It's well-proportioned. It's balanced. I can get the tree in there. And this one fell over like every 5 minutes. I'd fill it up with a half gallon of water and it would spill. I'm not kidding. Like, I did this maybe three times over the course of an hour. Fill it up and then a kid knocks it over. They're putting on ornaments. Fell over again. It's a little guy. It's like, 3 feet or something. And so we had this dry fire hazard living in my kitchen.
Yeah.
Or my dining room, because it's the only place it would fit. And I had my son, not in the Christmas spirit, burn it in the backyard with a bunch of old present boxes this morning.
Nice.
Yeah. So exciting stuff. With that in mind, let's talk about why that was liturgically incorrect. And talk about, but just honestly, do you guys continue to celebrate Christmas after the day of Christmas? That can be your fun fact. Tell us yes or no and how or why not. Okay. Starting with Bella.
Yes, yeah. So my family does, we celebrate Christmas all the way to January 6th. And then we end it by taking all the Christmas decorations down. Sometimes it lasts longer, not going to lie, because we're all really busy and we can't. we try to take them down on January 6th. And we listen to Christmas music and continue watch you know, the cheesy Hallmark Christmas movies all the way until January 6th.
Hallmark Christmas movies are the best Christmas movies. I think we talked about this previously on the show, but I can summarize every single Hallmark Christmas movie right now. I'm not going to, but I could. Sure, yes. Here I go. All right, Lacey Chatbirth, right? Gretchen Wieners from Mean Girls. She is a big city, high-powered person. You know, she might be a businesswoman. She might be a lawyer. I don't know. Yeah, might work for a politician. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, she has to go back to her hometown. I don't know why, but she does. There's some reason. Somebody died, maybe. She inherited something. I don't know. Yeah. She goes back to her town, really just wants to get over with so she can move back to insert high-powered female position here, mm-hmm. right? But then when she gets there, she meets a guy. She doesn't like the guy. He wears flannel rolled up past his forearms all the time.
Hardworking American.
There's dirt on him a lot.
Middle America.
Oh, she definitely knew him. Yeah. They probably didn't like each other or they dated and broke up.
Yeah, yeah.
120%.
Right. Then, over the course of the movie, she realizes, oh my gosh, this super attractive guy, I actually secretly am desperately in love with him and it's not about my high-powered big city lifestyle.
Yeah.
And then Lacey Chatbirth moves back home and lives there. Forever.
Well, you forget about that part where there's like some kind of huge miscommunication.
It could have been solved with a quick phone call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And then like she goes back early and then they're like, oh no, but he was in love with you. Like there's
normal gesture.
Yes, exactly. And then she moves back home, falls in love, blah, blah, blah.
Yep. And then she spends the rest of her life happily ever after in Nowheresville, Idaho, or North Carolina. And she's happy and she learns that life is about so much more.
Although I've heard Nowheresville is beautiful this time of year.
Nowheresville, Idaho is gorgeous. Actually, this episode is brought to you by the tourism department in Nowheresville, Idaho.
Like something
go check it out. Every girl there is Lacey Chatbirth. Not a lot of people know that, but it's true. So many high-powered attorneys end up moving there, and they like manage the general store.
Let's be real.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Horse farm, something like that. Fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. Okay, no, awesome. But you really do like the your family holds
really
on through Epiphany.
Yeah.
Do you do an Epiphany celebration?
Yeah, we take down our decorations, or we'll sing a song.
Do you do like a wise men thing?
We could.
We always do a wise men. You don't have to.
She's like, I can.
What about
it's
you, Grace?
It's not like a set tradition, but like, yeah, we celebrate it. Like, I don't have any plans on Friday for a reason.
So you can do.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. cool.
I was gonna say kind of yes, but then also no, because I feel like it's somewhere in between, because with our family, I feel like we try to do the same thing, like leaving our Christmas decorations up as long as we can, like up until the Epiphany. But then same thing, is it that we're trying to be liturgically correct, or is it that like we also just like the way they look, and like it took us a while to get them up anyway, and you know, we're busy, so like let's take them down later. It's definitely a combo of both for sure. And I think in terms of like still celebrating Christmas, whether it's Christmas movies or Christmas music, things like that, I still like to keep those incorporated. Earlier today, am I allowed to say The Chosen?
Yeah, totally. Please say The Chosen.
I was watching like the Christmas episode of The Chosen. Awesome. I was starting to watch it and it was really good. I can't wait to finish it.
I've heard it's fantastic. Yeah, I haven't seen that episode in particular, but I hear that it takes place with Jesus as like a 32-year-old just wearing like a birthday hat and everybody brings him a cake. Is that true?
I heard that was what it was. Yeah.
You know, I haven't finished the episode, so it's highly possible.
I think it's the finale. Jonathan Rumi's.
Yeah. That would be cool, though. I mean, it would be neat, because you know how they do all they do. You know, The Chosen is kind of, and I don't mean this in like a pejorative sense at all, but it's kind of like Catholic fan fiction, a lot of it, like Christian fan fiction.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because they do all the backstories and stuff. It's super cool. They do it great. They do it super respectfully. I would love to see Christmas celebrated with Jesus the man actually there. Like, Jesus, it's your birthday. What do you want to do today? I think that'd be cool. I don't know if they celebrate birthday.
That's actually hilarious. Yeah. We should pitch this.
Like, let's go fishing and do cool stuff.
We've got to have some kind of connection.
Yeah. Right?
Do they celebrate birthdays?
They did something. They must have.
Is that silly?
They had bar mitzvahs and stuff. They knew your birthday.
They did.
Yeah, no, I know. But I heard recently, I don't know who said it, so don't quote me on this, but somebody told me that like celebrating birthdays was thought to be like pagan or something at some point. Maybe not. Maybe not.
But I mean, like they had bar mitzvahs, right? When you turn 13, they obviously put some emphasis on now you are. Like,
yeah. There's definitely. I think birthdays are pretty established.
You heard it here from Grace. Celebrating birthdays, totally pagan.
Yep, that's 100%. That's what I believe personally. So.
There's a. Yeah, no, we do not endorse that here on Honest to God. Murphy, even though you come from the same family as Grace, no last name, so they'll never know what family that is. Are you do you do anything different? Like, what about at college? Yeah. What about with your...
Yeah, I mean, typically with college, I'm back home at this time of the year, which is really nice. Speaking of birthdays, like, our dad's birthday is on, like, the 7th, and so it's typically right around the Epiphany, and so sometimes it falls on it, I think, or no?
I have no idea.
Is it a number of days thing, or is it a rotating thing? Never mind. It's always right before his birthday then, and so...
Every year.
Yeah, so one of the... I know we always leave our decorations up. I know we sometimes listen to Christmas music. Honestly, for me personally... A lot of the commercialism Christmas kind of fades out. Like, I don't really...
That's kind of a good thing, though, right? I mean, that's cool.
I think it's good. I think I definitely keep putting on pounds. I keep eating lots of food and regretting it. So, I mean, that's sort of my Christmas tradition.
I have a question. Okay. Oh, wait, sorry.
You're good. Okay. No, yeah, that's kind of it.
I have a question for all of you now.
Oh, good. I'm excited.
Do you guys ever do anything for the 12 days of Christmas? Oh. Since the 12 days of Christmas are between the 25th
it starts and the 6th. On the 25th yeah. No, I mean, other than like the only line that I've really held this year, and it's with all you guys, I have left the Christmas lights up and turned on my front porch.
Yeah.
My one thing, I'm refusing to take those down until the 7th. Then I will take down my lights. I know the 6th is Epiphany, but the day after we'll take them down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know, like, growing up and stuff, my parents would come up with different traditions that, like, wouldn't necessarily stick, but they would be like little, I don't know, catechism, arts and crafts things to do during the 12 days of Christmas, or during like the Jesse tree kind of thing. But none of them really stuck as like a firm tradition that like was kept up.
We talked about that a lot in our Advent episode, actually. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I'm glad that made an impression on her because I don't remember.
Well, we have Advent calendars and that sort of, that build up.
Yeah, big time.
It would be cool to have something there. Yeah. We have our nativity set up. And then on Christmas, we set up our little wise men on like the other side of the house.
Oh, that's cute.
And every
cute.
Day we move them a little closer and a little closer. And then on the day that they show up, our kids get a present. There's like some little, it's not like Christmas presents, but there's something that's usually sort of religious that comes along with it. They get excited about.
It's myrrh.
Yeah. Congratulations. Two of you got frankincense and myrrh. One of you got solid gold ingots.
Hey, yo. That's a gift.
Yeah. Ben, I know the Barron household does something cool.
Nope.
Okay. Never mind.
We leave our Christmas decorations up. Definitely not originally out of laziness.
Right.
No. And then just we figured out,
this is liturgical.
We've been doing it right the whole time.
Liturgically.
So we do it the day after Epiphany. We take down all the Christmas decorations. Or at least we're doing it this year. It kind of makes it, we usually do it Sunday because everybody's free on Sundays. Mm-hmm. So it just makes it convenient. Mostly, it's about Christmas movies for us. Like, we watch a lot of Christmas movies.
Between Christmas and Epiphany?
Yeah. So, we'll just keep on doing Christmas movies. Like, before, we have to watch Charlie Brown Christmas and, classic. Like, Home Alone and things like that. A Christmas Story.
We haven't done
Die Hard yet. I think we're going to do Die Hard soon.
Y'all are all old. Like, younger kids are now old enough for Die Hard.
So, recently, the most recent Christmas movie, probably the best Christmas movie. I'm blanking. The old 50s.
It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life. Yep, heck that yeah.
One. It's just
it's
wonderful.
It's one of the best
film.
Movies, period.
It's yeah. so
it's
incredible.
So good. Yeah. And so many, like, Catholic
totally
views in that. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's my one beef with It's a Wonderful Life. I don't like how Mary, who's so wonderful, just ends up an old spinster if George never showed up.
Okay. There you go. I got something for you. She does that because George is the only person that she could have married. He was the only person for her.
That gets into predestination. I don't like the one mentality.
Well, it's not that. It's that he was the only person in the town that could live up to what she needed and she wanted out of a man.
So it didn't work out. I like it better. For sure.
Like she said, I don't want to marry Sam Wainwright, and I don't want to marry all these other guys. I want to marry you, George.
I mean, the Sam Wainwright thing, that's valid. He was kind of a dork.
Yeah, the whole
hee-haw thing.
Yeah, what was that?
I think it was just like he did it as a kid and then it was
kept doing
he's
it.
Like that kid that did the one silly thing and everybody laughed at it, so he just kept doing it and people kept laughing.
Gets to be a time when you gotta cut that out, and it's about eighth grade. That's when you gotta figure that out.
If you don't, then you're stuck with it.
No, I love It's a Wonderful Life. I am always it's so interesting to me how those older movies, by older, I'm even talking about like early 90s, there's still this Christmas spirit that exists in them that a lot of modern Christmas movies, they don't have that. They just take the commercialism, they just take the consumerism, and that's the focus of it. But even like Home Alone, this, you know, it's slapstick and whatever. That scene when mom comes home at the end, and he's looking around for his presents, and mom's there, and is just like, I mean, it makes you tear up. It really speaks to my heart every time. It really embodies this. It's way Christmassier than Jingle All the Way or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Christmas Story Christmas.
There's so much beauty within like the truth of the faith and like why we actually do these things. And the world like takes it and kind of turns it and twists it and finds a way to like make a buck off of it. But we were talking earlier with Father Kevin Peake, and he was talking a little bit about how the liturgical calendar really creates this harmony and balance within time frames. Do you want to share a bit more about
that? Yeah, well, he was talking about the idea that the church really balances feasting and fasting.
Right.
So, like, the idea that obviously with Advent, it's a little less, like, say, potent than Lent. But, like, you have a month leading up to Christmas, and in the old calendar, like, how they used to do it, I don't know, when, way back when, the Christmas season,
you'd have, like,
yeah. So when birthdays were pagan, what they used to
do. Not endorsed by us.
They'd have Advent for, like, a month, right, leading up to Christmas. You have Christmas in the octave, right, of Christmas, which is the 8 days, Christmas, 8 days, and the next Sunday. And then you'd have until literally early February, which is the presentation of Jesus in the temple.
Sure.
And that was, like, a month of fasting. Celebration and a month of feasting.
Yeah.
And so this concept where it's like this balance, and then same with Easter, with Lent, and then there's like it goes on till Pentecost, you know, the Easter season.
Right.
And so it's just this balance of like fasting and feasting. And it's just there's a lot of beauty and balance to it.
There is. And why have we lost that? Like, that's not a, I'm not trying to make a political statement on anything within the church. I'm just curious about why. You're right, because that balance makes so much sense, especially to us as sensual human creatures, right, that live in this world. And I think that there is something that is so good in the way that we did a lot of those things that, that speaks to our heart and feeds our soul in a way that we're not spoken to and fed unless we really seek it. Now, why? Any thoughts?
Maybe it's like a lack of culture. Because I know like a lot of families and, you know, like different groups like have strong cultures and things like that. But there's also a certain element to that has been lost in. I mean, I don't really know, but because you can still find it. And like you said, you have to seek it out. And the church still has culture. But to truly like live it out in all the different ways that. I guess it can like flourish. It looks different.
Well, I love what you said about consumerism earlier too. I think that's a big part is that we are wealthier than Babylonian kings right now, right? Yeah. No, all of us, right? Yeah. You guys as college students literally have more comfort and convenience than the emperors of Persia had at one point, right?
Yeah.
And we don't, it's like we can't fully appreciate the feasting, right? And the fasting and all of these things because we're too comfortable.
And I think also like this, the need in our culture for instant gratification and the lack of ability to like prepare or wait for something. So like, and I think we can all agree, you can only celebrate Christmas for so long.
Right.
I mean, it gets old. There's only so many songs, only so many movies. Kind of. It's pretty awesome even all year round. But like if you're not waiting, then you shift it forward. And so like what they've done is they've taken the feasting part and they said, well, we don't need the fasting part. Chuck it.
Yeah.
Put the feasting or the fasting.
And the feasting doesn't mean anything without the fasting.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
We need the fasting for the feasting.
Yeah. And so like this concept that they just threw out the fasting, they shifted forward the feasting, and now we're left with kind of nothing in this emptiness after Christmas, commercially and secularly.
No, that's fair. That's really good. That makes a lot of sense.
It's like the same thing in stores. Let's talk about stores. Like after Thanksgiving's over, Christmas decorations come out. I went to the store the other day. Valentine's stuff is already here.
Right. The 26th, they rip it all out, throw it in some clearance corner at the back of the store, and fill it up with chocolates and hearts and stuff.
Those candy sales.
People are just always chasing the next pleasure, the next.
Mm-hmm. Which is another thing, though, because that's the feast day of Saint Valentine, the day we're going to feast on this day. Mm-hmm. Now, never mind. We're gonna get rid of all of that and just make it 2 months of getting excited about this thing. And then it happens, and then what's the next thing we're gonna build up to?
Let's get really excited about negative dating culture.
Yeah. No, it's just it's really. It's really frustrating to me, and that's why I was really excited about the concept of the show and this idea of, no, we're refusing to say Christmas is over, let's move on to the next thing, and we're saying, no, let's dig our heels in a little bit and talk about how we are still in this season that is really, I mean, I know Easter is sort of our big, big holiday as Christians, which we forget, and the reason I think we forget it so often is because there's not presents associated with Easter, going back to the consumerism thing. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm kind of on that now.
No, it's very true.
Yeah, I feel like And I'm glad because I didn't have that thought in my head at all going into the show, but you're talking about the rhythms of the fasting and the feasting. And I feel like there's so much of that that has been lost, and not just in the fasting, because I feel like a lot of times we come back to, oh, we need to be harder on ourselves, which is true. But we also need to embrace the excitement and the joy of these seasons, of the Christmas season and the Easter season, throughout the entire season, and not accept the fact that, oh, the calendar says this, right? So now we've changed over from the 25th to the 26th, and now we're done, and the next thing. And it's that willingness to dwell on and appreciate the season of feasting, because the Lord has come, right?
Yeah.
Christ, the incarnation has happened, and he is here, and we need to celebrate. And that's what we're going to do today. I'm super pumped for this. I don't know what we're looking at schedule-wise, Producer Ben, but I want to get into some celebration.
Can we do that? That's what we're doing. We'll do some. I think we're doing Christmas songs first. Some public domain Christmas songs.
Public domain Christmas songs.
You know, Christmas carols. Most of them are public domain.
Keep it easy on the pocket.
We got some good ones. And we've got a really cool live performance coming up. I'm not going to tell you who's going to be on, but it's going to be pretty great. Spoiler alert, it's all Producer Ben. With a Rudolph
nose. Rudolph nose on the recorder.
And we won't put the camera on Producer Ben, but he will also be doing interpretive dances to all of these songs.
I won't be here to click the button. I couldn't put myself on.
So, and I know we have a few more minutes left until we break at the half. I know we don't have to wait till the half, but I do want to talk about this a little bit, because we have Murphy in here, and like, music's a big part of what you do.
Yeah.
And can you tell us a little bit about that? And then I want to tell you why I'm asking you that question. A
little bit about
like what you do musically. I know that's something you make money doing that, and whatever. And just talk to that for a second, then I've got some follow-ups for you.
Yeah. So I mean, I play music. Kind of got started about 2 years ago, just playing in pubs. I mean, I've played guitar now for about 10 years. Sang for even longer, and done piano now for about 8 years. And so, yeah, just like writing music, playing in pubs out in Pittsburgh specifically, Irish pubs. My uncle Mike and my cousin Johnny back in Pittsburgh, they kind of did that for a long time. And so I looked up to them, and they were like my icons growing up, especially musically. And so being able to now play in some of the same pubs they've played in and all that.
Do you do praise and worship?
I do. So I also lead the festivals of praise over at Franciscan University, a student.
Okay. What's a festival of praise?
So if you've ever been to like a Steubenville conference, if you're familiar with those at all, it's like that. For those of you who haven't gone to one of those, it's basically like a packed gymnasium full of young people praising God in adoration for like an hour and a half, 2 hours, with praise and worship, full band.
In adoration.
Yeah, in adoration. I said that.
Oh, I missed it.
So I was a graduate of Franciscan University back in 2010, maybe. Yeah. And I'm gonna tell a secret right now. I'm gonna put it out for everybody. I went in totally unfamiliar with the whole praise and worship thing, right? I was one of those guys. I was very much like, oh, what is going on? All these hands in the air. I feel like that's detracting from whatever. And I was big into that. My wife's family, my in-laws they were charismatic Catholics too. And I still remember the first time I was in a mass, a charismatic mass. And during the consecration, right? He raises the Eucharist up, and all these people, they start like, kind of like doing all this praise stuff, but I can't tell that's what they're doing. And it sounds to me like I'm sitting there trying to be very reverent. And it sounds like as the Eucharist is being elevated, they're all like, oh, I gotta go to the bathroom. What was the weather like? I just hear all these sounds and talking. And it was because I didn't realize it, right? I didn't realize it. It was actually, and later on, I talked to my father-in-law about it, and he was explaining it to me. And I had this big criticism of a lot of the praise and worship during the Mass. And the older I've gotten and the more I've reflected on it, the more I realized something that's been really important to me. Just to my understanding of my fellow Catholics and everything, which is that liturgical preferences do not define orthodoxy, right?
Yeah.
Meaning, just because I might prefer a different form of worship doesn't mean that the way that you're worshiping God is wrong, right?
And I totally agree. And I think there are obviously some things that can be a little like, you know, distracting, you know, but maybe by their nature. I'm not necessarily saying the person doing those is like wrong spirited in doing them. I'm sure they're like praising God in the way they know how.
Right.
I think it can be distracting, but like also in terms of like liturgical preferences, like I always felt like I had a good perspective on that, because like I grew up being friends with JJ, who's on the show a lot, and so like he's Byzantine, and so like that's completely foreign, just completely different tradition of faith. Yeah, it's the same. It's the same Jesus. It's
and
the
it's
same.
It's just faith. As orthodox.
It's, yeah, it's just as real. It's just as true. It's just as beautiful. It's all that. And so, got to take a really cool class with a Bob Deacon Bob Rice. I don't know. He's okay. He's a singer in the Catholic world. He's also a speaker and kind of just a Steubenville celebrity.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I took a class with him just about like music and the liturgy and music as well and adoration and stuff. And it's fascinating.
With that background, can you speak briefly? And this is like Murphy was not prepped for this. I'm totally putting him on the spot here.
Yeah.
But on the role that music plays in worship.
Yeah, I totally can. One of the analogies in that class specifically was an icon, which I thought was really cool. And again, like I grew up with this perspective of like JJ being Byzantine. And I was like, I get this. So it's like the idea of an icon is it's not so detailed. It's not so like flashy that you're distracted by its own beauty, but it's almost like this, almost like, you know, outline of a window. Like it's the idea is it's not realistic, but it's also not like cartoonish. It's this representation to draw your mind into heaven, to draw your mind to higher things. And so music in the liturgy really ought to be like the same way. So it should draw us in. It should bring us closer to God, not necessarily be flashy. Like it doesn't have to be like all the diminished seventh chords and stuff. Sure. It can just be like G chord and C chord realistically. But the point of it is to unify the body, to praise God. And one of the ways Jesus is present in the Mass, right? I think there's, I don't know how many ways. I'm not a catechetic. There's like four or five ways. I forget. But it's like in the Word, in the Eucharist, obviously, in the priest, in persona Christi. I think there might be another. But one of the other ways that Jesus is present in the Mass is in the collection of his people, in the body of the people.
Sure.
So the body of the church being able to praise and with unified heart, unified spirit, unified words, literally all together. It's a really beautiful representation of the body of Christ. And so,
yeah. And at the end of the day, going back to, I think I said this earlier, but we're sensual beings, right? Who experience things through our senses.
Big time.
And that's a good thing. And the idea of lifting our sense. That's why going back to Byzantine liturgy, I love the bells and the smells, man.
Bells and the smells.
I love it. It's beautiful.
All for it.
And if that music, if those smells, if those visuals, right, are lifting you up, lifting your soul up to heaven in that mass and reminding you that, hey, I'm taking a part of, I'm a part of something right now that goes a lot deeper than me and in this place and time and this spot on earth. Like, that's good. That's what we want it to do. And you're right, it's not a free bird, right?
No.
Raising solo up front or anything.
Yeah, and like, it doesn't need to be super complex. And now there's beauty you can add to it, but like, everything has to be done through that lens of like, how can I add beauty, but not necessarily like distract people with my face-melting guitar solo?
That's awesome. All right, well, that is a great segue. Make sure that you stay tuned. We're going to be right back, and we're going to do some of this praise and worship here, do some Christmas songs, and it should be pretty awesome.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see. I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM.
Please prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
And I'm super pumped because we're going to kick off immediately, continuing to celebrate the Christmas season on January 4th with some music, whenever you guys are ready.
Heavenly
That was killer, guys. I got my headphones on. It was excellent. Headphones were so I could hear you better, by the way. There weren't noise canceling.
Oh, I thought you were just blocking us out.
No, y'all, that was really wonderful. And, you know, this is our inaugural episode of 2023, still firmly in the Christmas season, being recorded here on January 4th. Keep trying to throw that out there. But I just really appreciated that. And this, for those of you who are listening or watching right now, this was the brainchild of Janice Gibbons about 72 hours ago, I think, and asked them to come in here and do this, and y'all knocked it out of the park, even though there were a lot of last-minute restrictions on what we could sing and whatever for public domain, and I loved it. And what I kept thinking about, and I was sort of taking notes about thoughts I wanted to come back to while you guys were singing, is how those songs that actually mean something, right? The songs that actually have some depth to it, that actually dig into what the Christmas season is about. Just, I feel like they feed our soul in a way that even, like, there's some good Christmas songs out there, even some traditional Christmas songs like Jingle Bells or Baby It's Cold Outside or some of these that it's like, okay, yeah, that's great. I remember hearing that when I was a kid, but it doesn't speak to us and feed us in the way that music that actually speaks to the heart of the holiday and right what actually makes it a holy day that we are celebrating mm-hmm. does. So I just thought that was beautiful.
Thank yeah, you. It's nice how that. It's nice how Christmas music can definitely be a prayer. Yes, like it's more than just a song, like Baby It's Cold Outside, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. So I think that's one of the things that makes Christmas music so special and so unique, especially like through like the church's perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even if you're not, I mean, even going back into movies and other forms of just media, right? Even if it's something like, say, And It's a Wonderful Life that has this great message that really gets into this heart, mm-hmm. the heart of like what our faith is about. And I'm not saying that the end all be all of being Catholic is It's a Wonderful Life and George Bailey going back and realizing that his life is good. But there's just so much more. There's just so much more depth. I just keep coming back to this idea of we're just fed so much because our hearts are longing for this thing, which if we're honest with ourselves and think and pray, we understand is Christ. Right. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really beautiful. Thank you guys. On the theme of Christmas songs, though, mm-hmm. I do want to get into this a little bit. I mean this seriously. I don't want this to be a tongue-in-cheek thing. It doesn't have to be your number one favorite, but like, what's your big Christmas song? Do you have one that you really think is like, that's the Christmas song that speaks to you? And then I want to do one that's definitely not the Christmas song, but...
Commercially or like...
Just in general. Or
theologically? Because I had to play some Christmas songs the other day. I played Winter Wonderland.
Okay.
The chord structure in that song is actually kind of wild. It's so like three key changes.
Tell us what that means, because that is all Greek.
You're playing a certain set of chords that go together, and then it switches to another set of chords that go together, and then it switches to another set of chords that go together.
Right.
And then it brings it all right back.
So it's like a brain switch. You have to like flip every single time.
Yeah. I don't know any other better way to put it than that.
But you're saying that you really like that. Right.
It's really fascinating. It's it transitions really smoothly. Like you wouldn't really notice.
I talked to a buddy of mine not too long ago who was in high school, like this black metal band.
Nice.
Right. Like horrible. Like anti-Christian,
bad.
Terrible thing. And he had this big conversion. Right.
Nice.
And we were talking about it, and he said something that was really interesting. And you talking about the chord change, which I don't understand. I mean, I guess I'm not a super musical guy, but I understand it's difficult, but it's also beautiful, and it all comes together in mm-hmm. the end. Right. And what he was saying about being in this band is that we were saying these horrible, like blasphemous things, but we were doing them while trying to string things together to sound a certain way. And even though the structure and everything that we were trying to give off was this like anti-beauty everything,
like grunge.
The fact that we were making music to begin with was acknowledging that there is an order and function, mm-hmm. right? That was in a way, even though it was antithetical to all we were doing, connecting us with the structure mm-hmm. of like beauty created by God.
Yeah.
So even by stringing chords together to make a sound, we were still acknowledging there's a beauty to this order, and it comes from somewhere.
Yeah.
And so that's what I thought of when you said this is a secular song.
Yeah.
But there's this beauty that comes with the difficult.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And I'm big on that. Like, you know, a song doesn't have to say Jesus to like reflect beauty.
Talk about that. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Oh, I don't have too many thoughts on it, but just like, I think sometimes with Christian music, and this, it's different with praise, because I think praise is a certain like subset of Christian music,
right?
But more talking about like the, whatever you turn on Christian radio, whatever right. it is, and like the song that sounds like a rock band and they just keep saying Jesus for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't always think that that's like the best music. You might, it's okay. We can differ.
Sure.
But I think sometimes when you like, almost like force, like, a certain message on a song, like, can sometimes take away from the art a little bit. But more specifically though, I don't think you necessarily have to be saying like explicitly like Jesus or like God to talk about really fundamental concepts and also like bring people into beauty.
No, I totally agree. It's the same reason why, and once again, if it's your thing, that's great, but why like the Christian movie industry,
yeah,
they put the message first, and it can be so, not all the time, but sometimes it can be so ham-fisted and over the top mm-hmm. that it's like, well, no, just make a good movie. And if it's a good movie with a good message, it is inherently Christian.
Yeah.
It's the same with songs, right? If it is a good, beautiful song, what you are doing is saying, this is a reflection of this order and goodness that's given to us by God. It's why It's a Wonderful Life. It doesn't get into Jesus all the time. It's such a beautiful movie.
But I mean, throwing back to the beginning of the conversation, it's like we talked about Chosen. And like, I think the Chosen actually does that really well. I actually haven't seen I've seen one episode, but not for lack
of liking. Download the app, man. Just,
and I just haven't had time. I've been watching other shows, so I guess I've had time. But it just hasn't been on my list of things to do yet. But I, from what I understand and from what I saw, like, it takes the Christian message, it takes, you know, the Bible, stays true to it, but it creates a work of art, and
right.
it freely wanders within its scope of staying true to the Bible.
Yeah.
And it, like, they're creative with it. They've taken liberties and they've done really good with cinematography and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
They've really put in the work in terms of the art, and they haven't let the message, like, compromise the art or vice versa.
Murphy, while we're on you, and then we'll move down through you ladies, least favorite Christmas song and why?
Jingle Bells.
Why?
Dun, 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 dun. I don't like it. It's dumb.
It was originally a Thanksgiving song.
It should have stayed.
I read that on the internet, and you can't put stuff on the internet that's not true.
It should have stayed there.
Abraham Lincoln said that, didn't he? Yeah, I read that somewhere on the internet.
Yeah.
I saw he live tweeted it. Yeah. All right, Grace, what about your favorite?
That's hard. I like...
it doesn't have to be your favorite, but one of my favorites.
I really do like Silent Night. There's something about, like, this kind of, like, the slow, like, more peaceful Christmas songs that just, like, I don't know. It's also, like, Christmas is already nostalgic, but then those kinds of songs kind of just feels like homey and warm. Least favorite, maybe Jingle Bells. It's not very, it's kind of overused, I think.
The garbage song.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Murphy has really strong opinions about Jingle Bells.
I never enjoyed hearing it, even before I was into music.
It's like,
Grandma got run over by a reindeer. I don't bop to that.
You don't bop to that?
No, I don't.
I don't bop to that either.
I don't like it.
Bell, what you think?
Favorite Christmas song. Probably Angels We Have Heard on High.
Oh, that's a really good one.
Oh, I like that one.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. That's awesome. Love it.
Yeah, they got
the way it sounds. I don't know. And then least favorite is probably Santa Baby. Like, why did you have to put the sexy into the Christmas song?
That's great. Yeah, okay, that's good. That's a good worst choice. Like, a good least favorite. There you go.
Good worst choice.
Yeah, that kind of goes into mine, too. For my least favorite, I was thinking just a little bit while you guys were talking. Any of those songs that seem to be actively detracting, as if it's like a nod and a wink away from Christmas and from like the actual purpose. What came to my mind immediately was, and these don't count as Christmas songs, but Larry the Cable Guy. You know Larry the Cable Guy, big comedian guy, kind of crass. He had a whole special. Or I don't know about special, but a whole section on one of his things where he just did like, just made Christmas songs gross. He just changed the words to make them gross and be like, there's just some that were sexual and just potty humor, just immature stuff. And once again, like, I'm not knocking a comedian who does some potty humor or whatever, you know, whatever. I was 15 years old and thought that stuff was super funny at one point, and I still kind of do sometimes. but it was just so just, I don't know, it just was so off-putting to me. I think even when I was a kid, it was just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Favorite one? I think it's called, is it Carol of the Bells? And it's purely from going back to what you were saying. It makes me feel things, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just like,
it's grandiose.
Intense. Yeah. And it really gives me these visions of Christmas and this grand coming of God is what I picture in my head. And it's intense. And I like that.
I totally
really
thought
good.
Of Home Alone.
Yes. Home Alone.
Yep. No, I love Carol of the Bells. I hadn't thought about Carol of the Bells in a long time. Now you said, I think I have to take Carol.
You're gonna steal mine?
Okay. I think so. It was either going to be Carol of the Bells or Away in a Manger is pretty great.
Yeah.
It's just a really pretty song.
It's really good when you know the lyrics. Like by heart. But when
I was a kid, me and Sam, this is when Sam was my younger brother, was really little, we're in a Christmas play, and he got up. It was... Our, like, another girl was supposed to sing. The song was Happy Birthday, Jesus. And it's this adorable little song. Like, cutest thing in the world. Right. But she chickened out at the last second. Like, the show's live. Mm. And Sam steps up there because he had been listening to her singing
Sam
the whole time.
I can totally see Sam doing that.
And just took the show away.
What a
and,
hero.
Like, you saw little old ladies in the audience crying. And I think just the memory attached to that is pretty great. Least favorite, I gotta say... Mariah Carey's
All I Want for Christmas Is You.
All I Want for Christmas Is You. Just because, like, you start hearing it.
And now you put it in my head and it'll be there
well,
for
it's just, it has, like, the life-sucking part of Christmas.
Right.
to me, like the commercialism and all that.
Basic. Hold on. I did see an interview, though. Actually, once again, don't quote me on this. Everything I say is pretty much unfounded. I'm just kind of talking here.
I dig
but
it, yeah.
Somebody was like, oh, how do you feel about being called the Queen of Christmas, Mariah Carey? And she was like, Mary is the Queen of Christmas.
No, she didn't. Oh,
did she really?
Is that for real?
Okay, I really like her now.
I think, yeah. I think it is. Somebody fact check me. If yeah, I'm wrong,
she
comment
just
down
made
below.
That up.
We're going to positive gossip about people on this show. We're just going to say really great things, make us think nice things about people. And not follow up on
say
it.
Say honest like, to gossip.
Honest
to another Christmas thing we watched recently as a family was the Mariah Carey 2022 Christmas special.
Obviously.
Oh.
It is so bad.
Oh, okay.
It does like 2 minutes of dialogue and Mariah Carey talking to someone in like a super promiscuous outfit.
Yeah.
And then just cuts to her singing 5 minutes of like one of her songs. And then, of course, it ends with this, like, incredible recreation of All I Want for Christmas is You, because that's her most creative song. But they have, I think, Silent Night is one of the songs they sing.
She's singing just, like, yeah.
Yep. Mm. And it's just kind of sad. Like, it's 45 minutes. You can skip through every song and be done with it in 10, 15.
Right.
Like,
no substance.
But it's yeah. no substance to
but,
it.
I
it's
mean,
just...
God gave her a gift, though, because that woman can sing.
She can sing.
She can
got
sing.
Pipes for days.
There you go.
Yeah. I fact-checked it. It did happen. Yeah.
That's great.
She believes
that's
good, that the truth of the title of Queen of Christmas should be reserved for Mary.
Okay.
Man, real that's time. Cool.
Amen.
Real time.
You go, Mariah Carey.
Yeah. I'll be behind that.
We take back all the negative things Ben said about your outfit.
It was a great special with no inappropriate costumes.
No, but I think it goes back to, and it tends to be something that comes up regularly, but we're just so jaded and cynical as a society, it seems, that yeah. anything that is good and anything that is wholesome gets thrown into this category of like, oh, that's cheesy and campy and let's make fun of it, put a twist on it, make it sexy or make it or whatever. And it's just yeah. gross. Mm-hmm. That's the only word I've got for it. It's just gross. Mm-hmm. And it's yeah. empty and you hollow out so much beauty. And then we grow up, and I'm a victim of this, just like everybody in this room is to some extent. And this watered down culture where we want identity and we want culture mm-hmm. rooted in something. And everything that we used to hold on to as like Christian civilization has just been so diluted or twisted around. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's broken. It's frustrating.
Before we get off the topic of Christmas songs, though,
please,
when
yeah.
you think of Christmas songs, you think of grandiose, you think of beauty. Mm-hmm. This is just one we didn't name. Feliz Navidad. No, I'm joking. But like, I do love Feliz Navidad.
That's good.
I just want to throw that out there. I've never not danced to that song. Like, I've never, at least one of these. Little shoulder bump.
I would love to hear, like, quote unquote, traditional Christmas hymns from all the places. Because I Ooh. Bet.
Well, there's a lot of them that are like, they're blended in there. You don't necessarily hear it. Like, one of the really good like Advent hymns, it's not necessarily Christmas, but like Come Thou Font has like a little line in it that's like super, it says like, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. But there's like more lines that are like kind of right. about God sending Jesus to us.
Mm.
So there's like a lot of those hymns that like, if you just start reading the lyrics, they're all, I mean, mostly because the Christmas proclamation of like God coming right. and becoming man. It's like, it's everything or nothing, you know? It's like, It's pinnacle to our faith.
Well, so I feel like we're going back to just doom and gloom, and I feel like we're inundated with all this nothingness, and everything that is good has been just like whittled away at. I spent the night out with a buddy of mine in Ohio a few months ago, and we were hanging out with a mutual friend who was a convert from Islam, right? Mm-hmm. And he was talking about his father who was dying. Right. His father was Muslim mm-hmm. and he was dying. And his father asked him to read some of the gospels to him. Right. And he asked him to read that because apparently there's something that Muhammad says about, you know, these good things coming from whatever. And it's okay to read. I don't know exactly. True. I don't want to misspeak in regards to what the Muslims believe about X, Y, or Z. But he read to him the story of the prodigal son. Right.
Mm.
And his father had never heard of the prodigal son. Because he grew up in a totally different environment and it wasn't yeah. something that he was enculturated in. He didn't hear the story from the time he was 2 years old like we all did. And he said, when the twist comes at the end, where the prodigal son returns and he, you know, says, mm-hmm. put a ring on his finger and slaughter the fatted calf and all this, his father was just amazed. Like he'd just seen yeah. a crazy twist ending at the end of a movie or something. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't believe it. He was just overcome with this, like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? And he said his father, like, wept. And his father ended up converting to the faith and received last rites and first communion on his deathbed.
Died. You love to see it. Wow. I mean, not the die part. Wow.
And the reason I'm saying that is because with the Christmas season, right, or with Easter or whatever it is in these Christian holidays that we've grown up as a part of Western civilization, just being inundated with all the time, anything from the story of Noah's Ark to Adam and Eve to whatever, it just becomes these cliche stories. Mm-hmm. That we've heard 10,000, we get it. Jesus is born and Herod wants to kill him and they take him away. Mm-hmm. And the thought of this guy hearing one of these stories that we've heard 10,000 times with fresh eyes and being overwhelmed with what a huge deal it is was just a reminder to me about how much we take all these things for granted.
Yeah. Well, it's like with the story of like the good shepherd
yeah.
and like leaving the 99 and mm-hmm. going after the one sheep. It's insane.
Right.
Well, we don't like, I feel like people just hear that and they're like, cool, another church, another homily, leave.
Yeah.
But like that, like the concept is insane. Like you don't leave 100 sheep or 99 sheep sitting in a field to go get one
right.
sheep who's clearly not stupid enough to run
to run off, yeah,
not stick with the pack. It's like, it's not worth it.
But there's so much of that. There's so much of what Christ says, and there's just so much that goes into not just the Christmas season, but our faith in general, that because we're surrounded by it day in and day mm-hmm. out, we just act like, of course everybody knows this, and of course everybody thinks this way, when we don't even think that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so much beauty in like the depth of every single story. Like, go back to Epiphany. You know, the wise men brought three gifts. Have you ever thought about what the three gifts mean?
Tell us all about it.
Right. I only know what one of them means. Okay, wait. So it's frankincense, myrrh, and gold. Mm-hmm. And I think frankincense, I only know for sure one of them, but I know frankincense, I think, is for his...
Is that for burial?
For burial.
Or is that for traveling?
No, myrrh is for burial, which is really interesting. It's like to symbolize Christ's death. Like
right.
mm-hmm. giving that to him when he was born. What? So like he was born to die. And then I think the gold is for like
it's a kingship, king. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't remember what frankincense is for.
I think it might have been something for traveling. Is that, am I making that up?
I don't know.
Once again, everything I say here, I do make up, but sometimes it's accurate.
No, but there's just so much depth in every single story. And like, you have to dive deep to find, like, you have to really.
Yeah, it's almost like we're punished for being brought up in it because we don't get to see any of it with fresh eyes. We have to like relearn it in a different way every time, as opposed to like discovering it and having all these revelations. And it's so cool that, and we can never do this fully, but to think about these people living in this totally alien world from us, because our world is not the world of the pagan Romans in Judea, right? 2000 years ago. Mm-hmm. And all these concepts that we take for granted is, of course, people think that way. Of course, people have that understanding of human dignity or whatever. No, none of that's actually there. It's literally Jesus Christ coming and bringing all this goodness to the world. And then we built a civilization on top of it. And now we've decided to take it for granted, which is why we're celebrating Christmas on January 4th, because the season's not over.
Woo!
Feast and fast.
Amen.
We got to keep going. Yeah. So I don't know. Are you feeling popsicle-y at the end of this?
I think we can do it. We have time for it.
But you have to have a Christmas theme with every single one of your popsicles.
Something has to do, like, you have to take it.
Christmas caveat.
Christmasify it somehow. John Henry will do it.
Oh yeah, he has to. I will give details for our closed out popsicle.
We sing our answer to the tune of Jingle Bells. I'm just kidding.
No, Feliz Navidad.
Hey, yo.
Everybody has to.
I'll play it.
All right, here we go. So even though we have 10,000 of these, somehow we're going to pick the same six that we've picked every single time.
It's probably not.
Yours is going to be like a DJ name. Is it?
No, I haven't gotten this one. I don't think anybody's gotten this one yet. It's crazy. Right.
Whenever you are ready, we'll start with producer Ben.
Okay. Have you ever been trapped in an elevator? Now to Christmasify it.
I was going
to
say.
Have you ever been trapped in a Christmas elevator?
Great.
Christmas elevator.
No.
So I have a real quick story on that.
Okay.
I bought a Christmas sweater for myself this year.
Mm.
It was the one from Die Hard, and it says, "Now I have a machine gun, ho, ho, ho." Looks like it's written on a gray sweater.
Nice.
And I wore it, and I didn't realize how many people would not get that reference. I wore it to school, and I had lots of people saying, like, what is that? What does that mean? They gave me really weird, like, kind of concerned. Like, is that a thinly based threat? What is that? And so it was terrible because I spent the entire day being like, oh, okay, so have you ever heard Die Hard? All right, it's a Bruce Willis movie from, like, the early 80s. He kills a terrorist, and then he writes it in blood, but it's Christmas, and so it just makes sense.
I just saw that movie like the other day for the first time.
Me too.
And I totally understand the elevator thing now because he's on the elevator with that shirt.
It's a Christmas elevator.
It's a Christmas elevator.
Makes that sense. Whole movie's a Christmas movie.
It is a Christmas movie.
Best Christmas movie.
I think I mentioned that in every episode we filmed today. that is the stance that I'm, that's the hill I'm dying
that's
on.
The
and
thing.
That's how you continue to celebrate Christmas.
By watching the whole Die Hard. There's like 6 Die Hard movies. You watch
what?
One every other day.
Yeah.
The only one that's wrong is the first one, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't we, that was a thing in our youth group, is that whenever we have a new person, the last question we'd ask them would be, what's your favorite Christmas movie? And we would shame them if they said anything other than Die Hard. But we wouldn't prompt them to say Die Hard. We'd just say there is a correct answer.
That was so much. I think we did that for like 6 years straight.
I think we did it for like 6 months straight.
No, I mean like 6 new people or like years of new people coming in. Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
All right, Belle, you're up.
Mine is, would you rather have a third eye or a third arm?
Okay, changing it. Would you rather have a red nose that glows on Christmas?
Okay.
Or would you rather be, no, okay, you have a big red nose that glows all the time, like blinding light, okay. Or covered in green fur?
Mm.
Like forever,
like the Grinch, yeah.
Oh, I would have the red nose thing.
That's fair.
Oh, I guess I. No, I don't want to steal from Rudolph, and I don't want to steal from. Like,
but it's big.
The Grinch.
It's and like, Rudolph doesn't.
Oh, but then it's green.
Your fur is.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. I think I like the nose. I think it could be kind of cute.
Okay.
Yeah.
You could rock the
Wait,
nose.
Wait, just to clarify, is it just on Christmas or year round?
It's all the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you could rock. You could rock anything, to be honest, but the red nose for sure.
It's easier than green fur.
Yeah, probably just a bit.
That sounds like a lot.
This is hard. I'm having a Christmas file at least. All right, Grace, I'm ready.
This is going to be easy. Okay. So my question is, have you ever had a near death experience?
On Christmas?
No. Well, I'm not going
to
say
near death Christmas experience.
No. Listen to me. Listen to me, John Henry.
Yes, ma'am.
Last night, we were driving home.
During Christmas.
Oh.
During the Christmas season.
Mm-hmm.
And Murphy and I almost got run over by a reindeer, which would be an interesting song.
There are reindeer in Georgia?
It's crazy.
Murphy and Grace almost got run over by a reindeer.
Oh.
And it was foggy.
It was a reindeer.
And there was a curve in the road. And it was there. And I'm surprised it didn't hit the rearview mirror. I did like one of those little swervy swerve. I know that's supposed to swerve for animals, but deer's... That'll ruin your car.
Big, yeah.
I was napping.
I almost hit a bear.
I got woken up.
I'm sorry that I woke you up. My bad. All right.
So,
I
traded mine out because I don't think there was a way to Christmasify this other one. But this one's much more fitting for me anyway.
Yeah, so. I'm ready.
Which musical artist is greatly overrated?
Ooh.
Whoever the heck wrote Jingle Bells.
Always.
Bringing it back.
You've never heard of a Thanksgiving music artist. So, I'm assuming he was pretty... low rated.
It was Beethoven.
Definitely. However they rated him, it was too much.
Alright, and it's my turn. I've been sifting through these because I've gotten all the ones that we always get.
Here, you can have my old one.
I'll take your old one out Christmas. Have you ever cheated on a test?
Would you like to know?
Have you ever cheated on a Christmas test? I'll do this one. My mom told me growing up that if I ever found my Christmas presents that she would know and I would not get them for Christmas.
Huh.
And I snooped around in our guest bedroom closet and I knew I was going to get Medieval Total War before I got it for Christmas one year.
But
and
you
I still got
still
it.
Got it.
Still got it.
So you cheated on the test.
So I did. I did cheat on my Christmas test. Yeah, man. Done. All right. Well, once again, y'all, this is our inaugural episode at the end of the Christmas season of 20. We're starting 2023 right now. Thank you guys so much for coming and performing for us. We've never done that before. That was amazing.
Thanks for having us.
I could not be more excited about doing this for another year with you, producer Ben.
Thank you, John Henry. I can't wait to do another year of this with you.
It's going
to
be great. And all these wonderful guests. We'll have to have you guys back soon, so don't go to college for too long. And swing back by. But this has been a blast, y'all. Looking forward to another 12 awesome months.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.